Blog Talk Radio.
Finland.
Olen hebrealainen Suomesta ja rakastan Straightway-heimoani ja siskojani.
Israel. Ani ivriya miYisrael. Ohevet et shevet Straightway veachyotai.
Trinidad. I am a Hebrew from Trinidad and Tobago. I love my Straightway tribe and sisters.
Puerto Rico.
Soy hebrea de Puerto Rico y amo a la tribu de Straightway y también a mis hermanas.
Philippines.
Usa ko ka Hebrew gikan sa Cebu, Philippines. Gihigugman ako ang pamilya sa Straightway. Labi na ang mga igsuon ako nga babay.
Moi c'est un Hebrew. Moi fait Haiti. Moi remè Straightway tribe moi et semyo.
Australia.
I am a Hebrew from Australia and I love my Straightway tribe and sisters.
Japan.
私は日本からのヘブライ人です。私はストライウェイ族と私の姉妹が大好きです。
Canada?
I am a Hebrew from Canada, and I love my Straightway tribe and sisters.
Hallelujah, shalom and greetings. I love my Straightway sisters. I love that intro that is from our sisters abroad, all over different parts of the globe. Shalom and greetings. I'm Sister Ashley. Welcome to another live show tonight. Grandma Barb is with me in the background tonight. She's my one and only audience. Let's get a sound check on my voice. Give me 10s in the chat room if you hear me well. Thank y'all so much for listening and tuning in tonight. I hope you're I don't know. I hope you grow from our conversation. I hope you enjoy it. Take something home from it and apply it. Hope it makes you a better version of yourself. Mother Jennifer's in Georgia. Bless you, Mother Jennifer. Thanks for joining me today, tonight. Let's hear from you.
Hallelujah. Bless you, Sister Ashley. Shalom. And blessings to all the daughters of Zion. I pray everyone's doing well. It's good to be here for another episode of Sister to Sister. And Sister Ashley, right before the broadcast, we were talking about how many more days we have left until Tabernacles. And it seems like the time is going slow, but also going so fast as well. So looks like everyone can hear us. I pray that you can hear me and we can move forward when you're ready.
Shalom. Hallelujah. Thank you. I see in the chat room they can hear us well. Hallelujah, for no problems. I would rarely know how to fix them. I would need my Sakina or my future Shane most definitely to help us with any sound check problems. So we're family and everybody does have important roles. 71 days until the Feast of Trumpets means 2 months and 1 week. That's it, to the Feast of Trumpets. 80 days till Atonement and 85 days until the Feast of Tabernacles, where we dwell in booths together. So that's our countdown, 71, 80, and 85, when I hope next week that will be a blessing for you already. That gives a good 2 months for saving, shopping, and sending, considering each of you who may be able to participate and send us the items that you always do. It's much, much appreciated. Hope you guys had a wonderful night. And shalom to, at least she's new to me in the chat room. She says shalom from Signal Mountain, Tennessee. Hallelujah. Shalom to you, Signal Mountain, Tennessee. Thanks for listening tonight. Hey, Dorothy. Hey, Carla. Hey, Kenya. Hannah, bless you. Sharon, bless you. We got our switchboard filled up with people listening on through their phones, and we got our chat room with listeners tonight as well. If you have never caught us live, I like to announce that every once in a while that you can catch us live on blogtalkradio.com/straightway, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time every Thursday night. Mother Jennifer, any chit-chat, anything on your mind, any praises, any stories, any announcements, go ahead.
I just wanted to say with Tabernacles coming up, there will be a Be a Blessing list that will come out soon. And just really want everyone to be prepared and to stay tuned for that. You know, as we know, as the years go by, it's a little more difficult to get the things that we used to get. Everything's not as readily available. So just be prepared to take down the list for Be a Blessing, and we'll be putting it out soon. But what you bring will truly help out straightway. It's like going to someone's home. You don't go empty-handed. You go so that you can actually be a blessing. And straightway is, they're inviting us to their home for the Feast of Tabernacles. So I just want everyone to be prepared to be a blessing. Sister Ashley?
Praise, yeah. Tonight we'd like to do as we've been doing, opening up our inbox. We have two emails. We're going to kick off tonight's show with questions, I would say somewhat deliverance related. We had not answered them in last week's show, so we want to do that tonight. Tonight, your guests call in if you would like to ask us anything related to our topics, anything that gets sparked in your mind or spirit as we speak, is 310-982-4226. You got to press 1 for us to be able to see you in our queue. When I see you pop up and your phone number is right in front of me and I know you want to talk to us, you got to step away from your speaker on your computer. Please don't call us from speakerphone. It does hinder or give us feedback on our live broadcast. So thank you, Sakina, for posting that email tonight. Email address is straightwayhelpmeets@gmail.com, all lowercase, S-T-R-A-I-T, wayhelpmeets. Hallelujah. So let's see how it goes. We're banking on you guys tonight, as usual. Hey, I just want to share this, too. I am used to many years of this show coming in with something maybe written down. Sometimes I'll tell you guys what I got in front of me, this book, or maybe sometimes it's just the Bible. Sometimes it might be nothing. But what I've started this past, I don't know, month or so, or however long we've been taking calls and open up our inbox, I've been bringing nothing on purpose. I actually want to get myself weaned off of the dependency of having something in front of me, and I just want to tell myself and tell you guys that, you know, there might be at times a difference. You might, I don't know, I might draw blanks, I might just have nothing, but I've been focused on bringing nothing for quite some time. Mother Jennifer, tell on yourself, what's your experience like? Have you been bringing nothing for a long time?
It's been a long time, Sister Ashley, and I would say that we do bring something. We bring our submission. We bring our willingness to really allow the Father to just do what he does. And you know, I believe that you've done a really good job with that, with this being your show, just really allowing the Father to work through you. And I believe that the daughters just really appreciate that. I know I do. So can't really say it's nothing. You do bring something every single time. Sister Ashley?
Okay. Thank you for your kindness. I really appreciate the encouragement, and I want to continue to rely on him even the more so, and not have that fallback, at least, you know, for a season, see how it goes. I think it's long overdue. You know, my husband has pushed me to that point many different times, you know, not wanting to have that dependency on a note or writing something down, et cetera. But I do, when I take your email, I like to jot a little note down, you know, for my memory, so that we don't get too far off from where you guys might communicate or what you might ask. One thing, when you're speaking to this many people and you're answering a question for this many people, I'll just say it once again. If we read an email or we take your call, we have other listeners in mind too, and sometimes it might be a broad way of answering. But it works. It works really well, and it grabs the attention of a lot of different minds. So keep that in mind when you have something that you want to ask. It can be beneficial to so many different minds. So it's not just for you, and that's a good selfless way to get past your fears and call or send an email. Let's go to the inbox, Mother Jennifer. I'm ready. Pick one. We got two, so pick one. Whatever you want to read first.
Yes, ma'am. The first one says, bless you, Mother Jennifer and Sister Ashley. I wanted to know how to battle the spirit of control and how to prevent it from manifesting until I'm ready for deliverance. I'll read it one more time. She says, I wanted to know how to battle the spirit of control and how to prevent it from manifesting until I'm ready for deliverance. Sister Ashley?
I think I'll yield to you first, Mama Jennifer, but I wanna kind of ask you this or add to that. Let's just talk about, in general, the will of what you want. I'm going to give you the example of, I want a cupcake. I want whatever might be, you know, sat in front of me. Some of those things that are very private, no one else is around. It's just me and the cupcake, for example. That is where I want to send your mind first, Mother Jennifer, because some of that can be handled. Some of those things can be worked out on your own, and you can start to kind of, you know, tackle away that spirit of control. Add to that, please.
Yes, ma'am. And it's something that you mentioned, the will, because that is something that I have jotted down here, just really about controlling your will toward righteousness. And remember, even Yah won't supersede our will. He allows us to choose. He gives you free will. So you have to learn how to control your will toward righteousness. You have to remember that you yield yourself to what you desire. So if you really, truly desire righteousness, then your will be geared toward that. There's nothing that is going to make you, quote unquote, make you do something that you don't desire to do. So just really learning how to control your will toward righteousness. And, you know, a lot of times there's generational soul ties that women might have. There's something in your generation. There's something where you saw a woman who was in control of situations, you know, situations that we have no business of being in control of. But you learned to be in control. And so a lot of times coming this way, you have to renounce those things. You have to make sure that those soul ties with those women are broken. You have to make sure that you are the complete opposite of that. You have to make sure that you are walking truly the way that Yah desires you to walk. I remember we had Pastor on the show years ago, and the question was asked, how do I walk in new life as a daughter of Zion? And I remember the very first thing Pastor said was, you have to completely forget the old woman, completely forget who you were, who you used to be. Completely forget that part and move forward according to what the book tells you to do. So everything regarding submission needs to be you. Everything regarding humility needs to be you. And that is how you prevent it from manifesting, for lack of a better term. Sister Ashley?
Good direction. I'm glad you brought up maybe some of the bloodline sins, or there's two prayers on straightwaytruth.com. Prayer number one is speaking evil and curses, things that you've spoken that you want to, you know, cover with the blood. And then prayer number two is deliverance from bloodline sins. So that's something also that you can do to cover the basis and the foundation of changing some of that control. That's a really good direction, Mother Jennifer. But I want to say, too, that let's say, for example, that you notice your control is an issue between you and your husband, and that's really where what's bothering you. That's where you see it. That's where you want to tackle it. That's really illuminated to your mind and constantly, you know, maybe even tormenting you that it's there. It seems to have the victory over you for a moment or whatever. Instead of isolating the control to the area that you see it in, really take your mind to all your relationships. Let's say, for example, if I want to get control over control, if I want to take back my victory, maybe I want to pay more attention to how I speak to my sisters. Let's say, for example, something comes up between me and my sister, and I just don't have to say nothing back. You know, we're just having a good conversation. We're just fellowshipping, but I'm just practicing not speaking back. I'm just practicing listening. That's actually going to help you in the area of your husband. How about you might get very angry at your child, and that's how you see control manifesting? Well, maybe you actually have emotion towards your mother. And your mother emotions, maybe you, when you speak to her or think about her, makes you angry. And it's manifesting in control towards your child. So sometimes the enemy will have us so focused on the area that even the Holy Spirit's bringing our attention to. But the enemy will get us so trapped and locked into that area that we don't check some of our other ones. So I hope that helps. So when control is actually manifesting, try to find it everywhere. Try to find it somewhere else, because you can start to conquer some of the weaker and smaller areas or get little victories so that you can see that it will manifest and bring about more righteous fruit towards, let's say, your husband or your child or your sisters or wherever the enemy doesn't have you looking. Does that help, Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. Very good points. I actually have nothing to add. I think you covered it very well.
Great. Okay. Remember tonight, guys, we're relying on you for your emails in the inbox or your calls. I know sometimes you're relying on us to even start a conversation for you to even, you know, get a spark interest or a question. So I understand it's mutual, but tonight we're relying on you. Remember your guest call in. Remember your inbox. StraightwayHelpMeets@gmail.com. Next email, Mother Jennifer.
Next email says, shalom and many blessings to you. Thank you for the sister to sisters. I have been learning so much. My question to you is, are flashbacks from a traumatic experience demonic? She says, my question is, are flashbacks from a traumatic experience demonic? Sister Ashley?
Hey, you know what I want to do? Let's see. What is a flashback? Why not? Flashback is a vivid experience, according to Mr. Google, in which you relive some aspects of a traumatic event or feel as if it's happening right now. This can sometimes be like watching a video of what happened, but flashbacks do not necessarily involve seeing images or reliving events from start to finish. Okay, so once again, flashback she's referring to would be a vivid experience where you can relive some aspects of a trauma. Okay, with that understanding, Can you read the question one more time?
Yes, ma'am. She says, my question is, are flashbacks from a traumatic experience demonic?
Okay. A flashback is a memory. It can be, it can give you emotions. That memory, right, is going to stir up emotions. Your heart may race or your hands may respond. You may sweat, all sorts of things. You might have a physical sensation that you literally feel again, like you feel like you're being held down or feel like you're being choked. Okay? I actually want to take our time with this for a minute and just talk about trauma in general, Mother Jennifer. So, once again, read the question.
Yes, ma'am. She says, my question to you is, are flashbacks from a traumatic experience demonic?
All right. Because it is an intrusive thought that you did not generate, I would say yes. But I would also say that certain traumas and physical injuries or psychological conditions, mental illnesses, will also affect your brain and cause memories or flashbacks to occur. So either way, there has to be and needs to be a lot of healing and a lot of restoration. And it is a journey, depending on how deep or how many years ago or how much that trauma has played out in your life and developed into so many other fears. So tackling away at it will get you completely healed from those flashbacks and those memories. When, as a deliverance ministry, when we sit down to help someone, what we call the deliverance chair, it's basically just counseling, just a moment of love, sharing something that that person desires to be free from. During that experience, whether it's trauma-related or not, there's a memory that that person wants out of them. Maybe they've been hurt. Maybe they've been abused. Maybe it's just 100% emotional. Either way, there's always a memory. And so a deliverance ministry really makes an impact into your memories, because your memories need to be restored for you to have an overcoming mind and a completely different behavior and personality. Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, even if you're tempted by a thought, a flashback that is demonically driven, you have to understand that Yah, through that, will reveal the need for another level or another layer of healing. It's like talking about deliverance, how there's layers, you know, it's like peeling an onion. There's so many layers to an onion. And so as you're on your journey to be set free from trauma, there's another layer that you have to tackle. So sometimes these things, these flashbacks may come. And I think a really good way is maintaining an attitude of just being thankful. And Pastor Muir talked about this, you know, remembering something, having a flashback that is just unpleasant, just really thank the Father for delivering you from that, because it takes your mind away from this woe is me type thing. I'm never going to be set free. I'm still bound. You won't think that way. You'll think, Father, thank you for loving me enough to set me free from this. Thank you that I'm not in that bondage anymore. And then move forward the way that you need to. So understand that there's different levels, different layers of healing for you to completely be restored and learn how to walk in gratitude. Sister Ashley?
Absolutely, and that's why I wanted to take a moment to talk about those layers, because we can come from a victorious mindset on the show, and I think that's our reasonable service to you. I think that's what we're always supposed to do. I believe we're supposed to represent a standard and a strength of overcoming so that you know you have an end goal, but it doesn't ever take away from the process. And when you're in that process, acknowledging every step of it is important for your own healing, so that you are not condemning yourself for not having the victory the way that we sound like you should, for example, just giving you a tactic of the enemy. There isn't a trauma without great fear, because even if the trauma happened through a natural disaster, a car accident, sexual assault, physical assault, witnessing something with your eyes, something as severe as, you know, a shooting, hearing it with your ears, hearing those guns go off, sudden death of someone that you loved, or even hospitalization where someone actually, you yourself lay on a hospital bed for a long period of time. These are shocks to your mind. They abruptly change your life and sometimes even your physical abilities or capabilities. And so the trauma exists, and the trauma has layers. One is a flashback. That's a layer. Two is a very serious layer of fear, fear that it would happen again, and fear that it is happening again. It, you know, totally distorts your perception. There's also the vulnerability of the lowest state that it brings you to. For example, a physical or a sexual assault, a molestation, it brings you to a point of hurt and devastation, and you're very open to help. And when the help is not sudden or the help is not immediate, your mind really has to filter a lot of thoughts, a lot of fears, a lot of images, memories, flashbacks, all that. And so it can have a devastating effect on your psyche, your mental, you know, capacity, your memory, your communication. It's devastating. Trauma is devastating. It's very real. At the same time, Mother Jennifer, I think it's important that no matter what our circumstance is, no matter how severe and real a trauma is, I think one woman has, in the faith, it's just coming to my mind now, I remember her story, her son was shot. I'll give you that as an example. That is a trauma, you know, especially let's say it didn't happen when you had Christ to the strength and capacity that you have him now to cry out to, right? And so those sort of happenings in your life that change you abruptly, now you have to call on the Messiah in a way that you never have. You now have the temptations of Satan to lead you to misunderstandings of the Father, to question him or to question life's circumstances. So trauma opens your mind up to accusations from the enemy, and the enemy can really come in like a flood. And so it's a lot to process at once, and it's a lot to cast down at once. And almost certainly something's going to sneak in and try to lodge and take root inside you. So let's talk a little bit about those layers, Mother Jennifer, and let's just say, how can I, if I know that I'm holding on to a trauma, how can I, where can I start?
I think it's very good that you brought up what you did, Sister Ashley. You know, I wanted to say that, you know, the ultimate goal is to separate you from the love of Yah. And when you talked about trauma wanting you to question, you know, to really start questioning things, start questioning Yah, trauma will want you to put your mindset to the point where you question Yah or you even question his love for you. And you have to be solid in knowing who you are in him and what his word says about you, and what his promises are for you, and that his love for you is truly unconditional. Like, you really have to understand his love like never before, because trauma will want you to be separated from the love of Yah. And Yah says that he'll never separate himself from us, but trauma wants you to separate yourself from Yah. So you have to understand and remember, you know, one of the layers, mistrust, you know, wants you to remove your trust from the Father, wants you to question the Father. Where were you? Why did you allow this to happen to me? And that is a bad road to go down, because if you're questioning Yah on that level, then you can't understand what his promises are for you. You can't understand his love for you. You can't be solid in knowing who you are in him and what his word says. Sister Ashley?
Yes, thank you for that balanced mindset. I know with my own experiences with trauma, too, that the enemy takes advantage of your emotional weakness or even your physical pain. And by taking advantage of that, I mean we're already in our weakened state. You know, as women, we are the weaker vessel. And there's just a lot of entertainment of the enemy that you can give into. And so taking your mind to where it was at the introduction of that trauma is important because you have to regain the power over the enemy by using something as powerful as what my husband has taught me. I renounce this in the name of Jesus. Renounce is a really powerful word that Deacon teaches me and I use, and I do get a lot of freedom from it. So I renounce hearing this and feeling that. And so you just try to dissect as much as you can from the source and the root of that trauma, from the initial impact, from the day that it began. And it's a journey to try to investigate it, because you find out what it's connected to and how it led to this, that, and the other. So don't be overwhelmed by the journey, but most definitely have in your mind that you want to yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness and victory, because the Messiah's death, he's worthy. He's worthy of me being able to say that I overcame trauma. And trauma has such a powerful impact to change you forever that you will actually not, you won't know where to start, or you won't know that, yes, you are supposed to be completely free from the impact of something that happened to you. As I talked to a sister who's been through something so incredibly tragic, as I talked to her, I said, tell the story different. Maybe you've heard us say that on the show before. Tell the story different. Because when you tell it different and you put Yah in it, then you're going to start to change those pitiful, I'm the victim mentalities and speech. And then when you change the speech about the story, then you can say, I got the victory. Then you can see change. Then you can say, I renounce. You know, so it takes some strength in your mind that maybe you haven't had to produce before. But here's the other thing too, Mother Jennifer, I'm glad you brought up praise and how important that is, because I have said to the Father throughout different times in my life with him, I selfishly can't say thank you because I don't have your mind, Yahweh. I can say thank you, like, hey, thank you, Mother Jennifer. Thank you, Carla. Thank you, Aya. Like, thank you, Father. Like, robotically, I can say it. Remember Goshen hit number one, song number one, where Teacher Shane's like, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, what is in your hallelujah? You know, that's so important, because I can come before the Father and say, thank you for this trauma, right? For this pain, this affliction, thank you. But I don't mean it. I do not mean it whatsoever. And that's what I tell him. I got to get my heart to where I mean it, you know, so that I'm not holding on to this going, this should have been different, and this shouldn't have happened, and why, and where were you, and why did he do that, and where was she at, and she left me, and like all that whole, you know what I mean, that whole victim and pity, and I'm like, Father, it's really difficult for this carnal mind to believe that you are with me all the time when I don't see you or feel you, and everybody else is gone. Right? It's difficult for me to think like you when I can't sit down and eat with you. And so I think that's important for our confessions too, to get your heart to a point where you can praise him and get that hallelujah that is meaningful. And then if you don't have it, confess that too, Mother Jennifer.
And I think a lot of times, Sister Ashley, we focus so much on the damage that the enemy has done that we lose sight of the goodness of Yah. You know, come consumed with self and your past, and you forget that Yah is good. You forget that he shed his blood for you. You forget the healing that he's given you. And so if we just focus on the fact that he chose us, the fact that we belong to him, and stop focusing so much on the damage that's done. And I'm not saying, you know, don't deal with the trauma from the past. I'm not saying that. But when that becomes your only thought and it consumes you to the point where you forget Yah and you forget his word, it takes you down a completely different path. Sister Ashley?
Beautiful, beautiful. I don't really have anything to add. Perhaps you guys would have some input. I know a large majority of you, if not all of you, would, have an impact of trauma. You know, even be living one now, a circumstance that you're currently going through. I mean, it sounds silly, Mother Jennifer, to the woman who's living it already, but maybe polygyny is a trauma to someone. Emotionally, it could be. If you've dealt with, or if you've legitimately been through a lot of rejection in your life, or even perceived rejection, and you just can't wrap your mind around the truth of the Father's mind, it can have a shock and an awe and an impact into your emotions that can really alter your mental state. Just using that for example, I don't expect a man to understand that, Mother Jennifer, but you're also someone who can speak to the side of living it, accepting it, and embracing it. And so I think maybe just for a moment, could you talk about, sorting through some of that, if anyone is experiencing it?
Yes, ma'am. I think the main thing is to really go back to your foundation with the Most High. It's all about your foundation with the Most High when you know that he called you, when you made that commitment to him to walk in his ways, to love his laws, to love his statutes, to love his commandments. And, you know, you have to think back to the way that we were raised in this society was completely contrary to Yah's ways. And so when we learn about polygyny, when we learn about our true culture, something that was taken from us, something that was stolen from us, to me, that's the trauma. You know, the trauma is having something that should have been mine, but it was kept from me for so long. To me, that's the trauma. So I believe that in that area, Sister Ashley, when it comes to polygyny, you have to realize that the traumatic thing is walking contrary to the way that Yah wants you to walk. And so when it's revealed, polygyny should be the healing thing. It should be the thing that should provide the healing. And so then you go to the Father and you say, okay, Father, this should really be healing for me, but I'm processing your way as trauma. You know, it's like that video that pastor put out, and he said, if there's a way in you that is not in agreement with the ways of Yah, you really have to be honest. You know, really, really be honest, because he talked about women struggling with health issues, women just struggling with different issues, and it's all because that woman is contrary in her mind with the ways of Yah. And so that's the type of thing where you just really get on your knees, you get on your face before him, and you say, Father, this, I've processed your way as trauma, and I don't want to have that thought. I don't want to think contrary that way anymore. So you really have to be honest with him and look into his book, look into his word, see what his word says about, about polygyny, and just really get it in your heart, really get it in you, and go back and process the things that you were taught from this American society. Why do I view this as trauma? Why is it? Is it that I had a mother that was a single mother that just talked down about men, that spoke bad about men who, she put herself in situations and she thought she was being used or cheated on or whatever. And so you took on the mindset of that mother. So you have to go back to your past and why is this thought traumatic for me? And then change it to what it needs to be, because it really should be restoring your mind and your heart. Sister Ashley?
Very well said. You guys have any questions? You know, trauma seems like a, you know, you can't really exhaust it. I did type this in too, like where is trauma stored in the body? The I gotta say, this generation, maybe even the New Age movement, uses the term stored in the body. We can say that safely, knowing that it doesn't have to be stored. So I don't want to lead you guys into that, you know, type of speech, because there's no victory in that. But I did read here that it says trauma is not physically held in the muscle or the bones. Okay, I'm going to explain something in a second. It says it's actually stored in the memory and the emotional centers of the brain, which is what is called the hippocampus and the amygdala. So with their science, okay, and their background of dealing with people who have dealt with trauma, they know that it's held in the memory and emotional centers of the brain. Check that out, right? So it's the memory and the emotions that we would need to deal with. And that takes a lot of communication to the Creator. Sometimes we stay bound because we won't verbalize what we're experiencing. We get into our heads, you know, listen to our heads, talk to our heads, maybe even talk to the Father in our heads. But we just don't verbalize that outwardly. And it's not about sounding good or saying it right. You know, it can be intimidating to hear Mother Jennifer and Ashley speak, man. It just sounds so, you know, they just flow, right? It's like, man, I need to talk to y'all like that. No, you know, no, we're doing a show. This is us and our show. When you get with y'all, it's ugly. It's brutally honest. It's your heart to his heart. It's not about a orator and a perfect five-paragraph speech. You know, it's literally, it's just you. It's you in your rawness and your reverence coming and believing that this is something I've held on to. This is a memory that's truly followed me everywhere I go, impacts me to this day, and this is an emotion that I feel all the time. For me, my traumas have really brought up so much anxiety, and I can still sense that and feel when that anxiety is present or when it kicks in. And so I'm also on a journey of complete healing from some traumatic things I've experienced mentally and physically. And so one thing you want to do, or that I do, is I acknowledge it. Like, even if the anxiety is present, even if it shows up subconsciously and I'm just aware that it's there, it's with me, I talk to the Father about that. It might not be in the moment that, hey, me and Mother Jennifer were just talking about who knows what, and boom, I'm feeling it. Okay, well, I'm going to go talk to the Father about that, because I need this freedom, and I don't need this anxiety to show up. What happens when you get anxious or you have anxiety? Me, talk too fast or over-talk, right? And so I want to take care of that. I want to get that under control and not have that subconscious leading my vessel, you know? And so it's a journey. So what you want to do, of course, you want to acknowledge the event and its entirety. And as more memories are restored to you, because you do know that memories are also erased from you, right? With trauma, you can't remember anything except that. Or I remember that, but not that. That's what trauma does. It has that much of an impact. So memories will be restored, and they can be very painful ones. But as Yah and the Ruach restores your memory, you also have something else to say, I renounce. You also have something else to process and say, I reacted this way and believed that lie. You know, or whatever your guilt of the matter is, you know. And then once you acknowledge the event, another thing that you can start to do is to practice self-care. And I don't mean it, Mother Jennifer, bring the balance, because I don't mean the indulgent self-care that this generation is producing. I just simply mean that sometimes when you have taken a hit mentally or physically, you can neglect your body and the self-care that you naturally should give your temple. Ms. Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am. You know, a lot of times, if, like you said, if you've been through anything traumatic, you know, just anything, like she said, you can let yourself go. You can just kind of overlook yourself. And you have to really be conscious of that, because that's a form of self-hate. And so you don't want to allow self-hate to just manifest itself through you. So make sure that you are keeping your body clean, that you're keeping your hair clean, your teeth clean, everything. Do what you can do to make sure that you're taking care of your skin. You know, the things that people might forget about, make sure that your toes are clean and that your toenails are clipped, that your nails are shaped, you know, things of that nature. It's not prideful at all, as long as you have a balance in it. But just make sure you're keeping up with that. Make sure your body smells clean. Make sure the upkeep of your body is in line with something that would please Yah. And speaking about the mind and the memories, you know, really ask the Father to purge your conscience of dead works. He might bring something back that you need to deal with, but once it's dealt with, ask him to really purge your conscience of anything that is considered a dead work so that you can move on and be free in your mind. Sister Ashley?
All right. I think we got another email. We can always, you know, go back. Oh, really quickly, though, make sure you're trying your best to avoid addictions, because trauma will generate addictions for whatever reason. When the numbness and the disassociation comes with the trauma, with the shock, with the awe, that impact, you'll reach out to something that you can feel. It's, I don't know if it's a survival mechanism. I don't know if it's all demonic. I don't know if it's all mind and some body. I don't know if it's all carnal. But nonetheless, that is what the mind will often do, and you can do it knowingly or unknowingly, reaching out to something that you want to feel again. It could be anything from caffeine to sugar to addictions that are more serious or severe, you know, pornography. I don't want to label them in order, like serious or severe. I just want to say that your body will want to feel something, and it can do, you know, drugs or some of those alcoholism, things like that. So, I don't know, just kind of pay attention to, what is it called in school, cause and effect, you know, the cause, the trauma cause affects so much. So, hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, yeah, another email.
I'm glad you brought that part up. Can I just say one more thing about that? Just really escapism will try to come in, you know, through addictions, through alcohol, through food, through whatever it may be, just causing you to really want to escape. And really you're not escaping. All you're doing is piling on something else. You're taking on another form, another level of bondage. So it's not setting you free at all. It's making you think that you're filling a void, but you're really not. The only way that you can fill a void is through Yah. He's the only one that can fill any void. When you try to fill it with something else other than Yah, then that's when you end up in more bondage. Sister Ashley.
Love it. Yes, ma'am. It's just the truth, Mother Jennifer. Definitely knowing a little bit about you and knowing your background and some of the things that you've experienced, you speak as an overcomer, and I think that's what it's about, you know, that no matter what we're living and processing, that we have the Messiah's worthiness in our minds, you know. We can't do it without him or his blood. Hallelujah. Yes, let's proceed. Back to the inbox. Thanks for the emails, by the way. Let's see what we got.
Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. The next email says, Shalom and blessings, Mother Jennifer and Sister Ashley. Thank you for helping all the sisters that are learning and growing in this walk. I would love to know how I can learn to blame in any situation. What mindset should I be in to be able to apply that on a daily basis? She says, I would love to know how can I learn to take the blame in any situation. What mindset should I be in to be able to apply that on a daily basis? Sister Ashley?
All right, I am looking for the verse that I need. Let's see. Let's see if it pulls up. Go ahead and ramble. Do you got something in mind while I try to find something?
Yes, ma'am. I instantly think about Susanna. I don't want to say that Susanna took the blame because she knew that she had been accused of something that she did not do. She trusted Yah, and she literally waited on Yah, and Yah raised someone up on her behalf to speak for her. She sought Yah. She trusted Yah. And, you know, with her being accused of something that she knows that she did not do, she never, ever got out of character. She always represented Yah very well. So I think looking at that example of Susanna in the Apocrypha, and, I mean, she was almost to the point of death, and Yah was the one that raised up someone on her behalf to speak up for her. So the mindset that we should have, that knowing, okay, it's not always about being right in a situation. Yah knows. Yah knows and understands. And then sometimes there may become a time when, if you were not asked, you know, maybe there's something more that needs to be explained to a situation and you were not asked. You don't have to, maybe you don't have the liberty to speak. Just be at peace with that and let that be okay. And later on, it might come back around to where you'll be asked to explain your involvement or explain a situation to bring understanding. You know, even our shepherd talked about being rebuked for something that he didn't do, and he took it patiently, you know, because that's what the word says, to take it patiently. And then later on, it came out that what he was rebuked for, he did not even do. But you know, it really speaks a lot to the character of someone that is able to take it patiently and to not be offended and to still just stay in order no matter what, even when being blamed for something that they know that they didn't do. Sister Ashley?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for that. That's exactly where I'm going with my 1 Corinthians 6:7. We've discussed it on the show before. It's a game changer when it comes to applying it to your behavior. It says, I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians 6:7. Why not rather let yourself suffer wrong and be deprived of what is your due? Why not rather be cheated, defrauded, and robbed? That's what it's asking you, okay? Why not rather let yourself suffer wrong and be deprived of what is your due? Why not rather be cheated, defrauded, or even robbed? And that goes back to Susanna's character as well. But I think one thing that would help us, and something that I'm working on mentally too, is, you know, it was very enlightening for Pastor to say that women by nature are very stuck in the moment, and we respond according to that moment too. You know, what's being done right now to us or what's not being done right now. And men are more thinkers of the future, and they don't get so caught up in the here and now. And when he said it, the way that he said it, and of course I don't have the clip and I don't even have the message that he said it in, and it was a blog talk, but it really helped me to go, okay, that's something that I can apply. That's something that I can, obviously I can't change the nature of a woman that's going to maybe perhaps have me thinking that often, you know, being in that carnal moment, this is what's going on, this is how I feel, right? But knowing that I can think ahead is going to help me. So what would suffering wrong right now do? What would, as this verse says, depriving yourself of what is due to you? You know, maybe someone doing right by you would be due to you. Maybe giving you a moment to speak, to defend yourself would be due to you. You being cheated out of the circumstance. I have four sons, right? And one of them is meek by nature, honestly. And you can correct him. Many times it's happened. You can correct him or even blame him for a circumstance that transpired that was not his fault, and he will take it. Later on, finding out that, oh, you weren't the one. It was him, because he comes forth with the truth or however you find out the realistic, you know, happening, and you go, wow, that's impeccable, meek character. That's just one example because I get to see it in my own home where I'm like, he wasn't so mindful of, I need to remove this correction right now and I need to defend myself right now because there's nothing to fight for. Okay, so someone's correcting you. Okay, so someone's got some words to chart you down a different path. Okay, you weren't the one that did it. You don't remember what you did 2 years ago. So let's not put so much emotion and passion into what's happening right now. You know, I got to speak right now, defend myself right now. That's something that I've, you know, tried to crucify over the years within myself as well, to suffer myself to be defrauded. That's what Paul is mentioning. I hope that makes sense because that is what Susanna had to do. Susanna did not have a voice on her own to rise up or speak, whether it ever tempted her or not. Maybe she was greatly tempted to speak on her behalf, but yet leaned to the Father with more trust, you know. And it is okay to be wrong in the eyes of man and still be seen clearly by the Father. That's a very reverent, respectful place to be with the Creator, to know that He can trust you and seize your heart, that you're not so self-focused on defending yourself. If you want to defend yourself, to take away all blame, then where's His defense? How can He defend you? Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. You know, the main thing, and I wrote down intent. You know, what is the intent behind wanting to be right? Why is it important to be right? Is it because you're concerned about your character being tainted, you know, misrepresenting the Most High, or is it from a standpoint of pride? So what really is the intent? And that's what you should ask yourself, and that's what you should focus on, whatever that intent is. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah, well said. As reminded by my technician, can I say that? Straightweight tech team. We are not medical experts or doctors. We speak from our own personal experience and our walk with our Creator and our victories we have gained through the blood of Jesus Christ, and He alone deserves all the glory. So thank you for that. Hallelujah. Another sister had posted that she cut herself. That I assume she said mine was cutting myself in the chat room. I suppose that would be a trauma that she's meaning, my trauma was cutting myself. That's a very serious state of rejection. We call it self-mutilation and deliverance. It also stems from not getting the attention that you want, so it's also a very self-focused manifestation. It's very driven and determined to get attention, and it will do what it needs to do to get it. So it's a very serious form of rejection and strong self-will. And sometimes some of those spirits that appear to be the most outwardly demanding of attention, something like, oh my gosh, sister, you're cutting yourself. Oh my gosh, you're taking, you know, overdosing. You're trying to get alcohol poisoning. You're trying these things throughout your life because it's feeding your attention. Though it gives you negative attention, it's getting a moment of attention because you possibly never had it growing up, possibly never had the nurture growing up, and you're demanding it. So there's possibly arrested development and some of those spirits that network together to make sure that you're going to get the attention that you demand. And so it takes a retraining of the mind to get yourself off your mind, because you might not mutilate anymore, but you still want attention. I'm not saying you, ma'am, in general, sister, at all. I'm just meaning how it can camouflage itself and evolve or change. Anything to add, Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. You know, sometimes you can wear trauma, you can wear experiences as a badge. And like you said, Sister Ashley, if you truly just listen to the conversation, like let's just say there's older people that are in the world. If you listen to their conversation, the only thing, the majority of the time that you hear about is a lot of trauma, you know, who just had a stroke, who just had a heart attack, who had cortisone shots in their knees. And it's all just, there's nothing that's life-giving at all. It's all just things that are, you know, I'm just going to one-up you. You know, well, you had this, well, I had this. You had this procedure, I had this procedure. You had this physical ailment, well, I had this physical ailment just last week. And it's almost like there's, that's the level of conversation. And it, you know, if you're not careful, even in the faith, you can end up in that way of just wearing your trauma as a badge, and even saying your trauma, you know, it's not yours, you know, wearing trauma as a badge. So you really have to be careful with the type of words that you use when you're talking about things, and you really have to speak as though you are free and not do things for attention, you know, and really understand that when this self-pity thing is trying to come in, like you were talking about cutting, Sister Ashley, you know, and just wanting someone to ask you about, well, where did this scar come from? You know, are you okay? How are you doing? Really understand the intent behind why you do what you do. Is this for attention? You know, really, what is this? It's time to just really be honest with ourselves. Sister Ashley?
Well, say, I got a question from you from Anonymous. When dealing with the effects of trauma, like addictions, for example, subconsciously, could that be generational? Or are all the effects of trauma subconscious, meaning, or not generational, just from what you occur, you know, you went through yourself? What's your thoughts, Mother Jennifer?
They could be generational, Sister Ashley. There's so much that we don't know about the generations before us, the things that are in our line. There's so much that we don't know. But regardless of where it came from, the focus is to be on just getting set free. If it is in a generation, you know, like whether you know it or not, just really start praying in that direction. Pray over your generational line. Start repenting on behalf of your generational line, you know, wherever it may lie. But just be determined to get set free regardless. But it can be in a generation, and it may not be. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Hey, this takes me right back to what we referenced, or what I said earlier in the show, deliverance from bloodline sins. I'm going to read it really quickly. I want to pause every once in a while, Mother Jennifer, and just see if you had anything to add. This is a prayer straight off of straightwaytruth.com. A prayer for deliverance from bloodline sins. Abba Father, I come before you, the judge of all things, and I enter into your presence by the blood of Jesus, my advocate and my mediator. I confess and repent, and please ask you to help me to remember anything that I may have missed in myself or my family line. I repent for rebellion, stubbornness, idolatry in my family's bloodline, also which I have committed against you. Mother Jennifer?
Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. Please continue.
All right. I ask you to forgive me, and I ask that the blood of Jesus to forgive me and cleanse me for every single time that I've not walked right before you. Forgive me when I've ignored your correction. Please forgive me for disregarding your desire and will for me because I was too rebellious and stubborn. My Father and my Judge, I repent for being lazy and being distracted from coming before you. I'm sorry for every single time I disregarded and ignored your Holy Spirit leading me to present myself before you. Jesus, please remove every accusation against me. I ask that any and all rebellion in my bloodline be revoked and removed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I disagree with all rebellion against Yahweh's kingdom, my home. Mother Jennifer, anything to add?
Yes, Sister Ashley. You know, a lot of times people may be confused as to why do I have to repent on behalf of the generation, you know, it may not be something that I have directly done. Why does it affect me? Why do I have to repent for this? And you have to remember that regardless of if it came from you or not, it may have come from a different generation. And remember that the third and fourth generations are the ones that are going to be affected. You have to remember that what you do is going to affect the generations that come behind you. So you're going to have to take accountability for that. and understand and know, okay, this is where it stops. It stops here. So in order to do that, you have to take accountability for that, for what was done before you, and that you're not going to let it to, continue at all. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I also want to, there's a newsletter on SherryTruth.com, The Law of Iniquity. A couple of scripture references says, 2 Chronicles 33, you have done worse than the heathen. Jeremiah 16:12, you have done worse than your fathers. Judges 2:17, you turn quickly out of the way which your fathers walked in that obeyed the commandments of Yah, and you have not done so. Judges 2:19, they have corrupted themselves more than their fathers. So that's just a few verses that remind you that what we have done is as bad and worse as our fathers. And throughout the Old Covenant, there are times when the prophets or the man of Yah would intercede for the people, or the fathers, the homes, the patriarchs would intercede for their families and actually cleanse, through confession of iniquity, cleanse their homes from everything that their fathers dealt with. I know Samuel did it. Let me see here real quick. Hold on just a second. Let me see if I can find it. Daniel 9:16, O Yahweh, according to all your righteousness, I beg you, let your anger and your fury be turned away from this city because of our sins and because of the iniquity of our fathers. And so it was in their speech, you know. So just as a, you know, as a generation that's very self-focused and doesn't take, you know, doesn't accept the things that are wrong with us or the things that we have done, of course we want to deflect and not accept our forefathers' sins because we didn't do that, and I don't even know what they did, right? But if Yahweh says by his promises that he would deposit iniquity into those who hate him, then we have had iniquity deposited into us. It is the law. Hallelujah. And so we want to confess those things. We really do. He says, if you shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers in these trespasses that we have trespassed against the Most High and the ways that we have walked contrary unto him, we would be remembered. Our punishment for that iniquity would be withheld, and that covenant would be redeemed. And that's Leviticus 26, verse 39 through 42 as well. But that's some of the things that are on our website. And I'll finish this really quick, Mother Jennifer. Back to deliverance from bloodline sins. The rest of the prayer says, and forgive me if I repeat any of the following sentences. I think I was right here. It says, I ask, Judge, that the accuser, my enemy, my adversary, the devil, no longer use my family's past rebellion against me, nor my personal rebellion, which the devil has used to accuse me. Please revoke it by the blood of Jesus so that healing, which now belongs to me, because I am the Father's child, can take place. Father, I ask for a full healing to manifest in my body now. I ask that my mind be restored to full obedience now. Thank you for always being mindful of me through your death, your burial, and resurrection, now being seated on the throne to make intercession for me. Holy Spirit, do the work of Yah's kingdom in my heart, my family's heart, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, my Abba, my righteous judge, for the ways of man are before the eyes of Yah, and he ponders all his goings. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. You can find that at straightwaytruth.com. It's a powerful prayer. You might yawn. You might cry a few tears. You might even feel a little bit of a release in your emotions or sensations in your body, but that's just the power of the name of Jesus. Mother?
I wanted to say, you know, it's good that you brought up the Straightway website. I think Pastor brought it up during his last live that he did a few days ago. And even if you've been in this ministry for quite some time, it's always good to go back and read Truth website because it gets updated regularly. So it's really good to go back and see what's on there and look through the information. And especially if you're new in the ministry, that is a really good starting place. Go through that website. It will answer a lot of questions that you may have. The Straightway Truth website, along with Pastor's YouTube page, along with Pastor's Patreon page. Those three things alone will really help you out a lot. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Once again, disclaimer or caveat would be that we are not medical experts at all. We're just generally speaking from our experiences and sharing them with the audience. Hallelujah, through our right to freedom of speech. So hope it edified you guys. I don't got anything else. There's no more emails. I know hopefully you've heard something that's going to make an impact, make you a better version of yourself for the Father. He is worthy. Mother Jennifer, I would like to play a song, hear that shofar, and go on home. Thanks for tuning in with me tonight. You can end the show from your end. Any last words?
Hallelujah. Bless you, daughters of Zion. I pray that you just really meditate on everything that was spoken, and I pray that we all just really look to Yah, that we would just stop looking at the trauma that, you know, we may have been through, but just really start looking to Yah. Look at the fact that He's chosen you, that He's redeemed you, and that He has just truly called you. Bless you. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Let's enjoy a song from Straightway Indiana Goshen. I hope you got their hit list. You can find it on YouTube. Y'all have a good night. Thanks for listening in. It's all about getting victory, being an overcomer. It's a process. Do not believe that you need to overcome in 24 hours or just even because you heard our voice and heard our show tonight. Hallelujah. It's a process. Let's get in it together. We're family. We're going to grow old together. Love y'all dearly. Shalom, shalom.
Even y'all all the time, we could get lost in this moment, lost in this moment, lost in this moment.
Before we end the show, I need to announce the Children's Marketplace information for Tabernacles coming up. Remember, it's less than 3 months. If your child would like to reserve a table this year, please contact Sister Marshayla on Polo. Maybe your child has art, handmade crafts, snacks, or posters. Any ideas that your child may want to sell with very reasonable price and share some of the things that they put their hand to, Marshayla is willing to help them out with their tables. Hallelujah. Bless y'all, and I'll continue to announce those Be a Blessing, Children's Marketplace, and Tea Party information as we get closer to the feast. Bless y'all.